All right, Brother Burke is coming, and he's going to open the scriptures for us again tonight. It's been good to have them this week, and I know your hearts have been blessed, and I trust you'll give him your attention tonight as he shares with us what the Lord has laid on his heart. Brother, you preach.
Thanks, sir. Amen. It's good to be here again. Amen. Amen. Hope you can say that. I know I'm glad to be here. I learned a lot about Brother Hall tonight, so be having a meeting with our church when I go back, too. All right. Matthew, please, chapter number 25. Matthew chapter 25, if you turn there. I was praying, seeking the Lord last night, and just seeking the Lord's direction for the service tonight. And Lord, really laid on my heart a message to share tonight. And really, it's never preached before, just gotten to the Word of God. And just spend some time with the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing, just to spend some time talking to the Lord. And I want to encourage you to make sure in your walk with the Lord that you take the time to be still. It's important. Just something the Lord hit me with a couple weeks ago. I was driving down the road, and someone called me from the church and had a couple ideas that would help the church. It's a nice way of saying it, right? And then I hung up, and like 5 minutes later, someone else called and thought that maybe we could do something differently at church. And you know, and when I hung up, and now you know they were kind, and but when I hung up, I said, you know, I literally was speaking to God, and I said, God, I said, you know, it'd be nice if every once in a while someone would just call and say, boy, isn't things going well at church? Wouldn't it be nice? You know, you know, because you never hear those things when they are, but you just never hear that a lot. But it was almost instantly that God said, you know, to me, you know, how about, you know, your prayer life? And it really smote me as I was thinking that a lot of times we treat God the same way. We pray, but normally all we do is tell God everything that we would like to see or what we'd like to see improved or who we'd like to help. And those are wonderful things. But take the time every once in a while just to stop and talk to a great God. And listen to a great God. And fellowship with that great God. And it's a wonderful thing. In Matthew chapter number 25 tonight is where we'll start. We'll look at a couple different passages tonight. I don't want to scare you, but God gave me three messages to share with you tonight. So we're going to do that. But looking forward to Sunday. And I know you'll be collecting your faith promise cards. And that's an exciting time, and I want you to think about that, all right? Faith promise cards, all right? Your faith promise, it is faith promise giving. It all rests upon our faith and listening to God. It is a promise. I have not talked to your pastor, but you know, I'm pretty sure we're on the same page as this. You know, we're not asking people to make pledges and things like that. It is, but it's something that God has laid upon your heart as you seek the Lord, and something that you want to give, faith promise giving. And it's, you know, understand it's giving. I heard someone say one time that God judges our giving by what we keep. I really thought about that a while. It's pretty good, right? God judges our giving by what we keep. You know, if your giving is only what you don't need, then is that really giving at all? If you stop and think about it. You know, but faith promise giving, I encourage you to get involved in that. When our son Alex, and it still blows my mind, he'll be 20 this year. When my son, I remember when he was a young kid, he saved up some money and he had like $50. So we went and started a savings account. So I took Alex and we went to the bank. We signed all the papers and, you know, he got his little passbook that showed he had $50. And, you know, he still wasn't sure about the whole thing because they took his money and he didn't have anything now. But, you know, we got in a car and I said, now, anytime you get some money, you know, we talked about tithing and then you can put money in the bank and you'll save it. I said, and then I said, let's set a goal. When you get up to $500, we'll get a CD. And he said, why would I want one of those disc things, Dad? You know, which I know some kids are like, what's a CD, right? You know, but he said, why would I want one of them disc things? I said, no. A CD is a piece of paper. He said, I don't want a piece of paper. He said, $500 for a piece of paper. I was like, no, yeah, you understand, it's all about interest. He said, I have no interest. That's what he said. And so he didn't quite get it, all right? But the reality is this, you will have more interest in missions the more that you put into missions. And the more that you invest yourself in missions, the more interest you will have. I promise you that. And so we want to look at this faith promise giving tonight. And I want you to think, before we even get to the message, keep in mind verses like Psalm 24 and verse number 1. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And Haggai chapter 2 and verse number 8, the Bible says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And I mention those because everything already belongs to the Lord. And when you establish that in your thinking, then the rest of this gets very easy. Because it's a whole lot easier to give away what's not yours. You know, the other day, we have a Tuesday night nursing home service that we go to, and I take my daughter to that, and a few of her friends come with us every week, and they sing and things and play the piano. And this one girl that comes, her name's Emily, and she's very, you know, tight with her money, and we usually sometimes will stop and get a drink. She a lot of times will not, or ask someone to buy it for her. She doesn't like it. But the other day we stopped and she got her own drink and never complained. And then she looked at me and said, Pastor, I want to get you and Grace something to drink too. I said, where'd you get all your money? She goes, oh, that's not mine. My mom gave me $20 tonight. All right, yeah. And the reality is this, she became very liberal when it wasn't hers. And if we as Christians would understand the biblical truth that everything belongs to God, then when it comes to giving, this isn't difficult. It really becomes quite simple. In Matthew chapter 25, if you're able to, let's stand as we read our text tonight. We'll have a few more verses to read, but let's start here in Matthew chapter 25, very familiar, all passages we'll read tonight. Let's do verse number 14. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he took that he had received, the 5 talents, went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest thereof to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to look at your word tonight once again. Thank you for this church. Thank you for their faithfulness in being here night after night. And Lord, it always amazes me that anyone would come, Lord, to even hear someone like me But Lord, then I'm reminded it is not me, it is not any preacher, it is this book. And God, I pray that we would have a listening ear, and God, that we would listen to the word of God tonight. And we love you, and in your name I pray, amen, amen. Thank you, and be seated. So let's stop and think about this, what we just read. There is a man, and you know this story, all right, this parable. There is a man that was given 5 talents. He went, and again, the master gave it to them, and then they had. And what they had was not theirs, it belonged to the Lord. But they went, and the man that had 5 went, did what he should with it. When the Lord came back, he had his 5 that he had given him, plus he had 5 more to give back to his Lord. Then there was the man with 2 talents, and when the master Lord came back, he had those 2 to give him, but also 2 more. But then there is the one that had the 1 talent, and when the Lord came back, he only still had that 1, because instead of investing it and using it as he should, instead, of course, he went and he buried it in the ground and hid it in the earth. And he still had that when his Lord came back, but the Lord was not pleased. And the Lord looked at him and what he had done and called him a wicked and slothful servant. Now, I stopped and I thought about that. And you think about this servant there that he called wicked and slothful. He was not, as far as we know, he was not a drunkard. He was not an abuser of drugs or living an immoral life. As far as we know, he was a decent man. But the fact is this, he had wasted what God had given him. He had just put it in the earth and not used it. And the Lord said, that wicked and slothful servant. And I stopped and I thought about this. And there's a couple lessons again I just want us to grab from this. And we'll continue the message in another passage of Scripture. But I would just give you 3 thoughts here tonight as we get started. Number 1, the return of the master. The master is going to return. The master is going to return. In verse number 19, read it again with me. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. I wonder tonight, can we all say tonight that we love his appearing? We're looking forward to his appearing. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. You know, I remember growing up, I was just like every one of you, right? You know, you grow up and it's like, you know, I hope, you know, I'm excited the Lord's coming back, but I really like to get my driver's license, right? You know, you think that way as a kid, right? Don't look at me as unspiritual. You did the same thing, all right? You know, and, you know, just want to drive. Then you just wanted to graduate, right? If I could only graduate, get that behind me, that'd be awesome. Then I went to college. I thought, well, I put all this work into it. Kind of want to graduate college, right? So if the Lord could wait till I graduate, then you get married. Isn't that wonderful? And he's like, you know, Lord, I want you to come back, but please let me get married first, right? You know, I'm looking forward to marriage. Then you get married, you're like, even so, come quickly, Lord, right? You know, you're ready. No, I'm just kidding, right? You know, it, no, you're ready. I hope tonight you're ready for the return of the Lord. I hope you're looking forward and for the return of the Lord. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 18, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find what? Faith. What are we talking about this week? What will determine what this church does in their missions giving? Faith. It's faith, promise, giving. Well, understand, as you're deciding and reckoning in your heart what you will do and what the Lord will have you to do this year in the area of missions, please note this, number 1, the master is returning. Everything we have, it does not belong to us. The earth is the Lord's. You say, well, I made this money. The silver and gold are mine, saith the Lord of hosts. It all already belongs to him. So as you're praying about what God would have you to do, understand this already belongs to God. And then he's coming back and we will reckon with him. There's going to be a reckoning someday. I ask you to think about this. Number 2, that the Lord rewards those who are faithful. He rewards those. In verse number 20, in our passage here, it says in verse 20, and so when he had received 5, so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents. Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in the joy of the Lord. I promise you this tonight, that truly, as I just said, it will be worth it when we see Jesus. I promise you this tonight, that if you're faithful in your giving, you give as the Lord directs you, it will be worth it. Every one of those sacrifices that you make, the time you spend in prayer, the money that you give towards missions, it is a worthy investment. And it will be worth it when you see the Lord. The Lord is a rewarder of those who are faithful. Now, we do not do these things in order to go to heaven, but we do these things because we are going to heaven. And the love that the Lord has shown to you, the love that we respond, it should be easy to give. Amen. He is a rewarder. The return of the Master, He is a rewarder to the faithful. But we also cannot deny this in verse number 26, that there is a rebuking of the unfaithful. Verse number 26, it says, Verse number 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. You know, I'm not saying, you know, anything unbiblical here. We read Corinthians. All of us who are saved will one day stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And we will give an account of what we have done with all that God has given to us. This is not a judgment as anything to do with our salvation, but it is a determining of a loss of rewards. That's what the Bible teaches. A loss of rewards. God wants to give you a full reward. God wants to give you, you know, and again, I'm not going to get into what all that is, all right? You can read that in Corinthians for yourself. But there is a reward. And just to hear the Lord say, well done. You say, well, what if he gives me something else? I've heard people talk about crowns. I've heard people talk about this. I'll tell you, if there is something, and we could debate that later, but if there is, we would only cast it back at his feet, because we will realize when we are there that it is all about him, and he is the only one worthy of any praise. But I do want to stand before my Lord someday and know that I did my best. I remember I was talking to Brother Gable today about a missionary that was out of our church. His name was Colin Christensen. He spent many years on the field and spent time in the Philippines. He spent time in Mexico. And the last place he established a church was he's well over 40 years in missions work. And the last place he served was in Hungary over in Europe. And there's a church, and just recently we sent over our assistant pastor over to check on that church. They've been established now for about 8-9 years, and they were still going strong. Amen. Awesome. You know, that is such a wonderful thing. And I just can't tell you how wonderful that is. But Brother Christensen, Colin, had to come home. He had to come home because he got sick. He had cancer really bad. And his last few days on this earth, they were rough. And I remember he took a turn for the worse, and I was there at the hospital. I was standing with him. His wife was standing on one side of the bed, and I was standing on the other. And we were both fanning him because he was burning with fever. And they brought in a tablet because two of his granddaughters still lived in Hungary. And they brought over a tablet, and we knew he was dying. And they Skyped his granddaughters, and they were talking to him, and it was heart-wrenching. They were saying, please, Grandpa, don't die. Please, Grandpa, wait till we get there. And he knew he wasn't. But he looked at them, and I saw something that has never left me, and I've never experienced anything like it before. But he sat up in that bed with the last strength he had, and he said, my granddaughters, this is the moment I have lived my entire life for. And I stood there and I watched. Just a few hours later, he went on to heaven. And I thought to myself, that is what life is all about. The time we spend on this earth preparing for the day that we'll see the Lord.
That's right.
It's not about the bank accounts. It's not about how many toys I have. life should be about the day that I will stand before my Lord and Savior, amen, Jesus Christ. So I looked at this passage, and now I want you to go over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And they do go together. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. So we establish here in this passage of Scripture that the Lord has given us everything that we have. And someday He's going to return. He will reward the faithful, but there is a rebuke for the unfaithful. And here in this passage of Scripture, I just want to give you a couple other thoughts here. In 2 Corinthians in chapter number 10 and in verse number 12, it says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." Now, when it comes to our giving, now we understand, we already established, the Lord, our Master, has given us what we have. Everything is His. It's not ours. We are stewards. And we will give an account when He returns one day. We're going to stand before Him. Now, as we enter this thought of what is faith promise giving, we have to consider what the apostle gives us here in Corinthians. That number one, please mark these things, all right? Avoid comparing yourself with anyone else. As you are praying about what to give, avoid comparing. It says in verse number 12, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some." Please do not, you know, look around, because there's some that will say, "Well, I know that I could never give what brother so-and-so can give." Or there may be some who say, I'm young, I could never, my amount will not matter, look what they're giving. Or look what someone else is doing. Or I could never, as I spoke about last night, do what that brother is doing. Our job is not to compare ourselves with others when it comes to what God would have us to do.
That's right.
We dare not compare. You will notice tonight, and this week, you can ask your pastor, I have not asked what this church has done this past year in faith promise giving. I have not shared what our church has done in faith promise giving, because it is really no concern, to compare the two, because that's not our duty. Our job is to do what God has told us to do. Your responsibility as a church, I know that, you know, I've heard the stories too. You know, somebody walks in and I praise God. That's awesome. You know, but, you know, this church is giving, you know, $500,000, $1 million to missions. Praise the Lord. But not my church. No, I'd be great with that, but I don't know where our church folks would get that kind of money. You know, live in a little different part of the world there. But I don't know what you do, but it doesn't matter as long as you are doing what God tells you to do. You must follow the Lord. Please do not stop as a church or as an individual. It is of no concern what your brother in the next set of seats next to you is giving. You give what God tells you to give.
Amen.
Avoid comparison. And in number two in this passage of Scripture, accept your condition. It says in verse number 14, it says, "But for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you as in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure." And I would just tell you this tonight, all right? Avoid comparison, but number two, accept your condition. God is not going to ask you, and I mentioned this before, to give beyond what you are able to. Now, He may stretch your faith. He may ask you to do something you've never done before. But if He lays it upon your heart, He will make sure you are able. Again, some people are afraid to pray about these things because they think God may want me to give something I can't give. I'll just break it to you. He won't. He will only ask you to give what He knows He will provide for you to give. But we have to accept our condition. A lot of times, and you know, and I deal with this, there's some in our church that, you know, we're still trying to get here. But, you know, a preacher, I can't give. And unfortunately, I'm talking about, you know, a few there that with tithing, right? Now, understand this. I know this goes without saying, but your faith promise giving is not your tithe. Your tithe belongs to the Lord. That is a matter of your tithe, which is different from your offering. But you give your tithe, and then above that, you will give your offering, your faith promise giving. And there are some, and I know humanly speaking how we think about this, I can't do this. It's not fair. I don't make enough, right? You give as God has prospered you. And you accept your condition and you give as you can. And then I want to encourage you this, to add consistently. In verse number 15, in the middle, it says, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased. I want to encourage you this year. Ask God to increase your faith. Amen. Increase your faith. Ask God. And as I mentioned with my daughter, you know, she gives. And I know, you know, one may look at that and think, you know, well, she's not changing the world. Well, you're wrong. She is.
That's right. Amen.
She is, because she's doing what God told her to do. But you add. You know, I look now, and when I first started, you know, my grandpa was my pastor for many, many years. You know, and he challenged us. And I remember when I started getting involved as a kid in Faith Promise Giving. Mm-hmm. And I do give more now than I did whenever I was 10 years old. But it's been awesome and exciting to watch as God has laid upon my heart.
Amen.
And seen an increase and an increase, and God provides, and He is faithful, and He is faithful. And I know I'm not saying anything that's going to, you know, shock and awe anyone, but the fact is this, I want to encourage you, don't ever just get settled, well, that's what I've given for 10 years, that's what I'll give for the 11th year, right? No, ask God to increase your faith this year. Because the work, and I think you realize this in living, it hasn't gotten cheaper out there. And I hope you think this with me. I hope God sends more people out of this church.
Amen.
I hope God calls more people to go out, which will take finances. So ask God to increase your faith. Add consistently. And you'll notice what happens. I like how this passage ends here. It says, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. That doesn't mean that the missionary is getting fat, all right? You give me money, I'm getting bigger, right? That's not what it means. Keep reading, all right? How are they enlarged? To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. And not to boast in another man's line of things, but ready to our hand. It is an awesome thing. As simple as this, that you letting God increase your faith, you following God, accepting your condition, not comparing yourself, I'm doing what God wants me to do. It enlarges the work of the gospel. It enlarges the outreach. I just believe this with all my heart, that someday when we get to heaven, there will be people that will be there that you don't know their name now, you've never heard of them, but you have had a part in them coming to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I promise you this, that it will be worth it.
Amen.
It will be worth it. And the Bible teaches here that they will be enlarged if our faith is increased. Say, all right, this is where I get to the third sermon. Told you it's not bad. What kind of faith do I need? Let's go back to Matthew and close this. Matthew chapter number 8. What kind of faith do I need then? In Matthew in chapter number 8, we have a faith here that truly the Lord Jesus Christ marveled at. In Matthew chapter number 8, the story very quickly, there is a centurion in Capernaum, and he has a servant who is sick. And he asked the Lord for help in healing his servant. Look with me in Matthew chapter number 8, and verse number 5, when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another man, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to him that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, if we want to give our faith promise giving, and we want God to increase our faith, here is a faith that the Lord Jesus marveled at. So there must be something here about faith that we can learn from, especially as it applies to our giving. Number one, this man recognized another person's pain. This man recognized, this centurion, that if something is not done, someone's going to die. If you want to give in missions and you want a heart for missions, we need to think about tonight, and I hope that you will, that hell is real. In Revelation chapter number 20, all the lost will one day stand before the great white throne judgment. They will one day stand before a righteous God. Those that are lost will be cast into an eternal lake of fire. Hell is real. Spurgeon is the one that said, if sinners will be damned, at least let them leap into hell over our bodies. If they perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let not one go unwarned or unprayed for. Sometimes we get used to church and going to church and doing the church thing and putting on our church clothes and having our standards and having our music that we forget that there are people that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They will die and go to hell if someone doesn't reach them. There is a cause for what we're doing this week. Amen. Souls are worth more than all the world has to offer. The Bible says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? All of the wealth of the world doesn't come in comparison with one soul, the Lord says. When someone said this, that a missions conference is a church's business meeting over what will happen to souls. So what are we going to do this week? How are we going to respond? Are we going to realize that what I am here for, everything I have belongs to God? I just need to follow what the Master says. I will stand before that God someday. I don't need to compare about it with anybody else. What will the Lord have me to do? Lord, you show me, why am I doing this? Because souls are dependent upon your faith. Souls are dependent upon our obedience. A lot of times when we talk about money, it upsets people. A lot of people just get bent out of shape when you start mentioning money. That's unfortunate. I hope you realize this. The Lord Jesus Christ talked a lot about money. Just between Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and you can study this if you want to, you'll see that I'm telling you the truth here. Just between Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke about money continually. Do you know 16 out of 29 parables deal with money? Matthew, Mark, and Luke, on an average of 1 out of every 6 verses, deal with money. He talked a lot about money. Because, and we all understand this, that the love of money, money's not evil. I hope God has given you a bunch of it. That's awesome. Use it for his glory. Money's not evil, but a love for money is the root of all evil. It always amazed me, if there's one thing I've learned, you know, before I grew up in church, before I was working with the youth in our school, but when I became pastor, I realized something very quickly. Money, the thing that concerned the first century Christians the least, concerns our 21st century Christians the most. You know what they did in the book of Acts with money? Someone needs it. I've got it. I'm going to give it. You know what they did with it too? They came and laid it at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made. You know what I do not find? Is subcommittees talking about where all these things should be done and how someone did it wrong. Now, I'm all for budgets and I'm all for doing things decently and in order. Matter of fact, the Lord's local church should be a model of order. But a lot of times, you know, we put a new light bulb in a fixture. Well, what line did that come out of, right? And I'm just talking about the typical church today. They're so focused that they've forgotten what it's all about. That first century church said, let's just give it, let's just be, let's help people. God has given us, let's use it as a blessing. But we get so wrapped up in finances and money and so hung up on it that we forget what's truly the church's work. The church is not to be a bank and to hoard up millions of dollars. A church should be a center of distribution. And that money you're giving is for the distribution of the gospel and the great fulfilling of the Great Commission. But a lot of times, money changes the way you think. I mean, we get so caught up on it. Remember, you know, it's a joke, but this one time this guy walked into a church, went up and said, where's the treasure? And he found him and said, I want to talk to the main hog of this trough. He said, excuse me? He said, you know, the guy in charge, the main hog of this trough. He said, sir, we will call him pastor, you can call him elder, you can call him bishop, but you will not call him the main hog of this trough. He said, I want to make a $100,000 donation. He said, I see the porker over there, right? There he is, right? Because a lot of times money just makes you think different, right? And it's sad, but quite often true.
Yes.
We can get all excited about all kinds of sermons until we talk about money. But understand, it's all God's. I should give as the Lord directs me. And we're talking about souls. Stop and realize before I wrap this up that 150,000 souls enter eternity a day. 150,000 people died March 1st, 2019. Will die on this earth. We have a job to do. And we should take it seriously. You see, number one, this man recognized another's pain. And number two, this man recognized his own place. In verse number 8, it says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. You know what this man understood? I'm a nobody. And I encourage you, just like I encourage myself, please don't ever forget, we're a nobody. A lot of times we think we're something special. We are but dust. We are worms. We sometimes we just put ourselves on pedestals we ought not to be on. The only thing good in my life is from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you see something good in my life, that's the Lord, not me. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. Everything bad in my life, yeah, that was me. And this man, he saw other people's pain and he understood his place. Called this humility. If you want to have a great year in faith promise, humble yourself tonight. Lord, what do you want me to do? And then this man, number three, recognized Jesus' power. In verse number 8, we'll keep reading. He said, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Speak the word, he'll be healed. Can I remind you of something? You say, what? What can this offering do? What can this church do for the world? You'd be amazed what God can do through this church. On our own, you're right, we're not much. But you'd be amazed what God can do. God can do anything. What can God do with me? You'd be amazed what God can do with a surrendered life. It starts with you bowing the knee and saying, Lord, here am I. Send me. What can God do with my offering? You'd be amazed what God can do. God can do whatever He wants and He'll bless it in wonderful ways beyond our imagination. But you first have to surrender. We humbly recognize who He is. We see a lost world that is dying. We understand that God can use this and do amazing things. But then I think what truly made this man's faith different than what Jesus had seen. He says there in verse number 9, for I am a man under authority. In Luke, it says the same story, but it says it in this way, I also am a man set under authority. And that's an important principle here. You know what that centurion was recognizing when he said that? You know why Jesus marveled at this? Because you understand, let's just rehearse the story. This man said, Lord, I have a servant who's dying. The Lord said, I will come and heal him. He said, I'm not worthy for you to come. All you have to do is say the word, and he'll be healed. And he said, because I also am a man set under authority. I can tell men as a centurion to go, and they will go. Men to come, and they will come. But he said, I also am a man set under authority. What's he saying? He recognized the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he recognized that that authority was from the Father above. You know where your faith promise giving becomes real? When you recognize where the authority truly is. You know what will make your faith increase? When you recognize this is not, you know, Travis Burke deciding what I'm going to give this year. This is Travis Burke saying, yes, Lord. He's the authority. My faith promise is not me taking a calculator and figuring out, all right, what can I squeeze out more this year, right? No, my faith promise is me saying, Lord, you're my authority. The head of every man is Christ. The head of the Lord Jesus is our Father, God. He said, I recognize authority. Now, everybody look at me a second. With authority, there is power. For us, and for you as members of this church, you have your church as your authority. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of this church. We do what we do for the glory of the Father. We didn't read this verse, but in 2 Corinthians that we read earlier, we don't compare ourselves, we give that we might be enlarged. And it said that, and then it wraps that chapter up in saying that he might receive the glory. You know why you're doing what you do this week? It is not so this church can say, look what we're giving this year. It is not so you can say, look what God is using me to do.
Right.
You know what you're doing this week? It's a matter of obedience to your authority in fulfilling the Great Commission that he might get all the glory.
Amen.
And that he might get all the praise. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In Acts chapter number 9, when, in our opinion, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, probably the greatest missionary apart from the Lord, his ministry, it all started with this. Lord, what will thou have me to do? If Lehigh Valley Baptist Church wants to see God use them in a mighty way this coming year, then every member of this church needs to start in the same way. Lord, what will thou have me to do? And that becomes very simple when you understand it's all his anyways. He's coming back. I need to be ready. I'll not compare myself with other people. I'll give what God tells me to do. Because people are dying. Souls need to be saved. I recognize his authority. Lord, what will thou have me to do?
Amen.
My challenge to you tonight is before we get to this weekend, before Sunday those cards are collected, that you would take the time tonight before you leave this place and simply say, Lord, it's all yours. Lord, I see the need. What will you have me to do? God will tell you. God will show you. Please ask. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Thank you, God, for the scriptures tonight. And Father, I pray that, Lord, you would please help every member of this church to pause even now. And God, ask you what you will have them to do this year in giving. I pray that, Lord, you would increase their faith. I pray that they would recognize that it's all for your glory. That everything we have belongs to you. And may we give as you direct. God, may souls be rescued from an eternal hell. God, please use these missionaries, call others. But Lord, may it start with a surrendered heart tonight. In your name I pray. Amen.